Welcome to Marvel Champions Podcast, a podcast about Marvel Champions, the card game. I'm your host, Scott, and with me as always, my co-host, Ryan.
Yes, I am here with you as well, and got a special treat today. We're going back to some old heroes and villains. That's right. We're going back to the champion checkups.
I feel like when we're waiting on a new cycle or some new content to be released, product, we kind of go back to some of these old ones we haven't kind of played in a long time. Usually it's a good little surprise and refresh of some old characters with some new card pool. I had to get into this one.
Yeah, it's I always enjoy them because you get to play the new hero or the older heroes with some newer cards and just see how they've changed and have they gotten better or they've stayed the same or they worse somehow. It's always pretty fun. So I think this one is going to be an interesting conversation because of the scenario and at least, well, and the heroes that we've chosen.
Yeah, it's kind of a full range of the spectrum of heroes. The other thing I wanted to say is, I mean, I guess for some listeners, these could all be new to them. You know, they are heroes. Could be ones that they've never played before, just getting into the game. And the villain or villains could be villains that they've never fought before. You know, this might be old and some of this might be new.
Well, I support either option. I'm just glad someone's listening to us ramble.
I know, right?
All them crazy guys.
I know. Two brothers. Let's do it. We played a scenario. Do you remember what scenario it was?
I do. So this was the first scenario pack that had... This was the first like new content that I purchased after getting into the game that I had to like wait a couple weeks for. Because when I first got the game, I got everything that was out up to that point, and I went out and searched, and luckily our local game store carries Marvel Champions, and I went in and I was like, "Is this coming out yet?" And they're like, "No, it comes out in like a couple weeks." Couple weeks, I showed up and I bought it.
That is the I would say one of the more interesting scenarios that came out at the very beginning, and that is the Wrecking Crew.
This one, the concept of a multi-villain scenario, you know, it was groundbreaking for its time, right? More than one villain out there. I think maybe the closest other thing was the Green Goblin scenario, where he's flipping from Norman Osborn to Green Goblin, but it's still one villain that you were dealing with. And this one introduced four that you're facing off against simultaneously. And how do you think that played out, Ryan?
So I definitely, this was pretty hyped, at least for me, because I'm not necessarily like a huge Wrecking Crew fan, but I did like the idea of the multiple villains, and I was curious how it was going to work and bouncing off of each other. And I remember when we first played this one, it was pretty fun. I liked it. Now we've played it since, and a lot of people struggle with it. Not that it's hard, but I guess you can manipulate it pretty bad for some players where they just basically bully the Wrecking Crew.
You just kind of focus on one and slowly take them out one at a time.
Manipulate the schemes, the side schemes, so they don't, the marker, the active villain marker doesn't move around to the ones you don't want.
Right. You can kind of game the game a little bit in that way. A little less of randomness and more player control aspect to that. The thing I remember playing it, you know, back in the day, is that it felt like you were usually pretty good for those first few rounds, and then for some reason it felt like it got a little more difficult when you actually went down a villain or two. Like you were really pushing right at the last to get that villain, that final villain defeated, before it just felt like everything fell apart for you, whether that was acceleration icon or acceleration tokens being placed on the main scheme and kind of ramping up.
And
But
I
when we
think that's
played, I don't that was not our experience at all.
no. I think it's interesting that you say that because it doesn't have scaling cards. I feel like there's not a whole lot, a lot of like, if a villain is defeated, do this versus this kind of thing. I think I've saw a few that had something similar. I can't
Yeah.
remember
Comparing it to
if you
like,
couldn't change it or something, do this.
well, even comparing it to like some of the newer multi-villain, it seems like when one of those is defeated, there's usually something bad that occurs as part of like the new villain coming out. I guess thinking in my mind, Mansion Attack and the Marauder, the first Marauder, being multi-villain. But you're really only facing one at a time. There's multiple, but one at a time, where this one is more all of them at once and would be a little more reminiscent of like a Sinister Six scenario.
Yeah, or a little bit of tower defense.
That's true. Yeah, Tower Defense. I guess we're going to get another crack at this multi-villain coming up in the next box. So that'll be interesting.
I think this was a good scenario for the designers to kind of see what worked, what didn't work with the community and how they played it, and they've learned from it with these future ones, and make
The
them a little
dreaded
bit better.
learning scenario.
The learning scenario, yeah.
When you
But
find out what works and what doesn't work.
But I will say, in our game that we recently played for this, it was enjoyable. I still enjoyed it. They do, even if you want to manipulate where the active counter stays on a particular Wrecking Crew member, there's enough of these encounter cards that switches them automatically. A lot of treacheries that's like change the villain to the one with the least amount of threat, and then they thwart. So they're getting two activations. Generally, it's like an attack and then a thwart as well.
Noticed that too. We had those like round or two where the first or the villain indicator marker was jumping around a ton, and it felt like we kind of got stuck in a little bit of like a little surge cycle, and it just kept moving on us. But then it kind of like settled down,
Yeah, it
and we
did.
didn't see those very much.
Yeah, and once it settled down, we were able to basically control where we wanted it to go. So one big complaint I have is I'm sad that this scenario doesn't allow encounter sets. That I think is what's missing from this scenario because you can't change it up. There's no, hey, let me add this encounter set and make it different. It's all isolated in its own scenario.
I was going to give you a hit or miss, and that was going to be one of my hit or misses, was having
Oh.
four individual encounter decks for each of them, a hit or a miss. And it
I think
sounds
it's a
like, based off what you just said, it was a miss.
well, I think it's both. I do like that they each have an encounter set. I would just love it if you could manipulate those encounter sets. But
So you're
I
fine with
wasted.
the four instead of having one like massive encounter deck.
Yes, yeah. If there was some way you could add in an encounter set in each one of those, I guess you could, if you could home rule it. And do that. But I think that's where it misses is you can't alter the scenario by the way of the rules. You've got to do some homebrewing.
Think it contributed a little bit to, especially the hero I was playing, is it kind of made it a little cheat code on that one. Kind of got rid of some of the downsides yes. of the villain cards and things that can affect the hero I was. I do think there's no standard included. You're just using their kind of pre-made encounter decks. But I do think it contributes to some of the pacing that the game can have. Because some do have surge, I think one of the strategies of the developers is that they were trying to get you to spread the villain activations instead of putting it on or keeping it on one so that you don't cycle that deck, because you do get an acceleration token at any of the decks being depleted.
Yeah. And if you do sit on one too long, he will deck out, because there's not a whole lot of encounter cards per Wrecking Crew member.
Right, because if you think about it, in like our two-player game, at a minimum, on a standard round, we were going through at least four cards. You know, one for each boost, and then one for each encounter card. And that's if there was no additional surges or anything.
I think there's 15 encounter cards in each set. Yeah,
I think each of them have 15, because then there's their two A and B cards, and then their side schemes.
Yep. That is one thing I also noticed, is there's no side schemes. Well, there is a side scheme. It's their main side scheme, but it never leaves.
Yeah.
Yes. But so you can't, there's no additional side scheme. So I found this out the hard way, because one reason I chose my deck before playing this. So I played a Justice, and I had a One Way or Another, which is completely useless in this scenario. I could have just changed it out, but I didn't worry about it. But it was useless. But we did get to play this scenario with player side schemes. And
yes.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah, we were able to add some side schemes that way. So it took a new card type to a really old scenario. Definitely. I mean, could have been the first additional side scheme in Wrecking Crew history right there.
Boom, boom. I did it. I just broke ground, everyone.
Congratulations.
I want to thank my mom and dad. And if it, just kind of sum it up here, I definitely think it does suffer from just learning how to do a multi-scenario for the first time with the Marvel Champions. But I think there's a lot of fun things in this scenario. I still enjoy going back to it. I've played games like this particular game that we recently did was a little on the easier side. But we've played before where we've kind of gotten our butts kicked. Especially if those side schemes thread out, they're not very kind.
Each of them, I do like that aspect about them, that each of them kind of have their own little niche thing that they like to do, and then each of them kind of does something bad for each of their side schemes that can be pretty rough, depending on your character.
Yeah.
All right, but I got another...
I definitely think people should come back to it.
Overall, like, I'm with you. Like, it was fun to play. I know a lot of people like to trash on the Wrecking Crew, but it wasn't bad. It was an enjoyable game.
Yep.
So I got another this or that. So did you like that they did hit points per player on these guys? Or would you have liked to see something different?
I thought it was fine for the time. I'm not really sure how you do it different, though.
The only way that would be different is kind of matching some of the later scenarios, is like they had the ability to like come back in some way, and then you had to make sure they were all dead at the same time or defeated at the same time.
Yeah, I guess you could do something like that.
It's kind of like what's coming with the Four Horsemen a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could do it like that, but I thought for the time it was fine. When you beat one, you felt good, and you're like, okay, one down.
Right.
And a lot of times you're kind of picking at all of them, but if you can focus on one, it's super helpful. And, you know, it depends on which heroes you're playing. Some of them are easier to take out than others. Like if you're a hero that has a lot of attack events or and stuff like that, taking out pile driver is going to be tough. So any chance you get to do damage that's not an attack, so you don't get retaliate, you do it on pile driver. And that's what we did in our turn. Like anytime we had an attack that wasn't a quote unquote attack, we threw it on pile driver because nobody wants retaliate.
All right, so final question, and they'll move on to some heroes. If you had to have one of these four villains activated against you, which one would it be?
I think it depends on the hero. I think, yeah, it depends on the hero and the type of deck. Because I'd say Thunderball isn't that bad because he's really weak attack, but he does an auto damage to everybody. And so if you're running a lot of allies, you don't want Thunderball to be hitting you. That'd be the worst. Pile Driver's not too bad if he's attacking you, but you attacking him kind of stinks. Like maybe Wrecker. Because he just does two, unless it's undefended, then it's an issue. I don't know. It all depended on the scenario. Because there was times where like we had allies, and I was like, I don't want Thunderball to attack. Let's make sure it stays on this person.
Ryan's answer, it depends.
It depends. Just depends.
It just depends. All right.
What about you? Questions?
Yes, and it's definitely Pile Driver. Of like that vanilla guy. He's just got like two attack. He gets his boost card and he's done. He doesn't do anything like additional. You don't have to worry about him, you know, getting buffed by not defending, and then you don't have to worry about him, you know, taking out, overkilling one of your allies. Or dealing additional damage to allies that are out there. So, pile
Isn't
driver's the correct
his
answer.
doesn't he have just the most annoying encounter cards though? I'm gonna look at
He's all
I feel
about,
like
he's
he
very selfish. He's a very selfish villain. He likes the attention to be on him. So a lot of his stuff is forcing you to have to attack him to get retaliated on. So.
I see he confuses you. Doesn't he, you know, he status cards you?
It's health. He gets much more health. He's got a couple cards that gives him health.
Oh yeah, he makes you discard support. That one stinks. It's at the highest cost. Ugh, pile driver.
Their side schemes are junky and crappy in their own way.
Some of the pictures are pretty funny. Like
Yeah.
pile drivers, he's about, I don't know what he's doing. He's like about to rip this guy's heart out. He's about to Indiana Jones too, that guy. In his side scheme.
And he's like holding his hand. Well, at least he's kind of like kind before he pulls his heart out. He's holding his hand.
She's just misunderstood. He's just helping the officer up.
Right. Yeah. See? See? It's all a misunderstanding, officer. You shot me down.
Spying. Thunderballs. I mean, if you get a wrecking ball to the chest, I think you die.
Yeah. I would agree.
Thunderstruck just Thunderball just killed that guy. I would have to say a Wrecker has the least fun side scheme picture.
Yeah,
He
because
has a very long
him.
head though.
He does. It's very unproportional to like the rest of his body.
Good times, good times.
He's a giant belt too.
Hey, that was in style back then.
I guess so. He's got a belt. Does everybody have a belt?
Belt.
He's wearing his underpants on the outside. His underpants
That is
on.
true. I mean, that might as well be a belt, right? Yeah, he's got a belt
He's got
too.
a belt too.
Everyone's
He
got a
doesn't.
belt.
He has like a unitard on, but then has a belt. Like, why? Just to kind of break up everything? It's not to hold his
Yeah,
pants up.
he's got to break it up.
Right.
Oh, classic villain outfits. So good.
Yes. Marvel villains.
All right. Let's move on to some heroes.
Some heroes. All right. Well, do we want to go with everybody's favorite or everybody's
Let's
least favorite?
that's funny. This scenario we chose some people consider the strongest hero, and most people consider the weakest hero. We did a Doctor Strange and Hulk combo. But let's start off positive with Stephen Strange.
Okay.
But trust me, we're not going to end on negative. But Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange. Some people consider him the most powerful, and I would have to agree that he is in the upper echelon of domination, mostly because he's got this invocation deck that just does absolutely crazy stuff.
It's one of those things where you can always play at least one of those a turn, and they're like his big cards.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to put on tough status cards is amazing. Drawing three is amazing. Dealing seven damage plus a status card is amazing.
Yep.
Removing four threat plus a status card is amazing.
Yeah.
Even changing a status card in play for being the weakest one is still pretty good.
That is the weakest one, but I was able to use it, I think, twice. And it was like the first time I've ever been able to use it. Yeah, and what makes... I mean, so you got the Crimson Bands. That's the attack one. And it's not even an attack. That's what makes it so powerful. Seven damage and a stun for two costs? Insane.
Right, because you get around guard, you get around retaliate.
Just, and I guess... I guess the whole thing is you have to exhaust him to do it. But I have found that that isn't as much of a cost compared to other heroes.
But this way, I have to exhaust to deal seven damage when the alternative is I exhaust and I deal one damage.
If you're blocking, then you're going to be exhausted and then you're stuck. So you can't really block unless you've got some way of readying, which he does.
He does.
But yeah, the Crimson Bands, non-attack. His thwart one, not a thwart. So you can get around a bunch of things. And then, of course, just drawing cards is zero. My favorite card... So two things. My favorite card outside of his invocation deck... I do like Wong, but my favorite is Master of the Arts, where you get to play the top card of the invocation deck, but it stays. You just do the ability. And so you can just dominate with that card.
You do have to like spend a little bit of additional resources because it does cost one to play it. And I just noticed that it's untraded.
No, it is untraded. I feel like that one should be something. So I like playing that specifically with Winds of Watoom. So I can draw three cards for only one cost and then do it again. So I draw six cards.
Right. And if you had two Masters of the Mystic Arts, you just keep drawing cards.
Yes. The second thing is just to demonstrate how powerful Doctor Strange is. I once played a deck. It was a protection a little further back in the day where I wasn't able to use the invocation deck the traditional way by exhausting him, and I was still able to win. What I would do is I would basically use Wong or Stephen Strange's ability to get the particular card I want, and then use Master of the Arts to be able to activate this.
Yep.
Because his other cards are just as good. And it just makes him stronger. That's how powerful he is. You don't even need his invocation deck.
So, from my takeaways from watching you play, we were able to utilize Protective Ward at least once or twice, which was beneficial.
Once.
I never saw you play his other attack and thwart event cards.
I didn't because the cost. I'd rather, instead of paying three costs for Magic Blast, I would just play one of his. Because once you get his cape out that allows you to ready, you just play invocation cards. That's all you do.
Right.
Those are better than anything else, and they're cheaper.
Two Mystical Studies and Sanctum Sanctorum were never played. Kind of useless. And then the Magical Enchant Enhancements. You did use it on me one time.
Yep.
But other than that, they're just kind of there.
Yeah, that one can be a pretty good taking player card, like throwing that on a Quicksilver or someone that's going to be using a lot of basic powers.
And if you're going first.
Yes.
I guess... Oh, no, you couldn't. It's not an action, so you would have to play that first. Upgrade.
Yeah. It's an upgrade, so it sits on you. But yeah, man, he's got everything. He's got resource generation. He's got ready. He's got stat enhancements. He's got draw card abilities. He's got stopping treacheries. He's got, his magical blast does 5 damage, and then you discard the top card of your deck, and you get to do stuff. So, I guess there's one card you could do. What is it? Digging Deep? I guess you could use it for Doctor Strange, but the likelihood of you hitting that is, to me, is pretty rare. But, I mean, even then, if you did Magic Blast, it's stun an enemy, deal more damage, or confuse the enemy. Or all of the above, if it's wild. That's
crazy, if you can actually hit it, yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, he's got status cards, and, he's got the
whole package. He's just got it all. He's got it all. Yeah. There's a reason he's a doctor.
Yes. Yeah.
So what did you pair? What aspect did you pair with Doctor?
I did Justice because I knew who you were playing as, and so I wanted to make sure that I could control the scenario. And so I chose Justice to make sure that's not an issue. And it worked pretty good. I didn't do any fancy Justice cards. So some of the newer ones, I actually threw in an Agile Flight, which is an aerial thwart, and I was able to get the cape, which gives him aerial, and I was able to use it. He benefits a lot from some basic cards, so Sorcerer Supreme, which I never played because it was on the bottom of my deck. But Spiritual Meditation is just a classic for any mystic. The card that I put in every single Justice deck, and I love it. And that's Overwatch. I love playing Overwatch. It's such a good card. I used it.
Overwatch, I'm trying to think of the wording. It's when removed, right? It's not necessarily a thwart.
Hero Interrupt. Yeah, I'll read it real quick.
Yeah.
When a Hero Interrupt, when any amount of threat is removed from attached scheme by a thwart, discard this card. Remove an equal amount of threat from a different scheme. Now, I should note that according to, I guess, the rules, because it is your card, whoever plays it, it is you that has to activate it, not another player, apparently.
Yeah, but I could be the one thwarting. You just have to activate it. Is that what you're saying? I guess it has to be your thwart that is the only thing that can activate it.
Oh, now I'm confused. Because it is a Hero Interrupt, but I think it has to be your hero acronym.
No, I think the thing you're thinking of is you have to be in hero form.
Yes. Well, that is true. I do have to be in hero form.
It has to be your, because it says win any amount, right?
That's true. I guess you just have to activate it because it's your card.
Yeah.
So as long as you're in hero form, you should be good.
I guess it would be important to note here that images of Icon not being a thwart, technically not activate that. Thwart, right?
That is true. Yeah. Thankfully, I did not use it for that. I used it. I think I did Agile Flight on one of them. That is a thwart. But I think Overwatch, I'd say the newest cards that I played with him was actually Side Schemes. I had Build Support, Superpower Training, and Lay the Trap. And I'm loving Lay the Trap. As a Justice, it's a great damage dealer.
That one came in handy. We didn't want to waste the damage because I think Piledriver had the card where you could only attack him or only deal damage to him or something to that effect.
Yes.
And we were able to kind of manipulate it to where we were able to utilize and maximize our damage to defeat more than one villain with inactivation. Because that can only come onto one of them, but it made it to where we could make everything work.
Yeah, yeah.
I will agree with you. I feel like that one is gaining, for me, like its value. Like at first, I was like, that's okay. but it seems like that one, out of a lot of the side schemes that have come out, is the one I like. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I definitely like this one more than the other Justice, which is the remove a minion.
No, this one's way better.
Yeah. We did end up playing Superpower Training, which just helped kind of set us up. It sets your character up more in a better way. Mine, I think I pulled out his cloak so I could ready pretty early in the game. And then we actually never played build support. It just didn't work out. But that would have been just as good.
My supports aren't good. And really, your supports didn't really help you because we never really had to go down to alter ego.
Yeah. I played some beat comps. And that's an older card. He actually came out with the Hulk deck. And I enjoy beat comp. It's expensive to get out, but man, if you can get two or three out, whew, it's pretty consistent.
Especially with like a hero that struggles with thwarting in general or spreading thwarting out.
Mm-hmm.
It can be good. And then you can always just have it there as a desperate big minion killer.
Yeah, I've had it do massive damage to a minion before. It's been pretty great.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what more to say other than he's got everything. He doesn't have a weakness, I feel like. I guess maybe his biggest weakness is he's got a 3 recovery, which is pretty normal for him, or for that kind of character. So
he's average, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a great attack on his stats, but you generally aren't using his stats on his hero. You're exhausting to do other stuff.
Invocation deck. And it cycles so fast, or has the ability to cycle so fast.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't have a defense card, so I mean, that might be a weakness, but if you do play magical enhancements, it says it goes away at the end of the round. So that means after the villain phase, right?
When the round,
I mean, I guess that's his defense card, as best as you can be.
His defense card is in his invocation deck. It's the 7 Rings of Ragador.
Okay,
being able to put tough status cards on is his defense.
Yeah, that's true. And that definitely. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think the other thing about him too is with Wong, he has some built-in. Health recovery, so he really does like have it all.
Yeah, there's he doesn't really have a weakness, and that's why he's so good, is because his cost curve isn't bad. He's got thwarting, he's got everything, and that's why he's on the top of the list of players. So I guess go revisit him. If you want to win, play him. I mean, if you want to feel good about yourself, play Doctor Strange, because then you're going to feel quite strong. And if you lose, then I guess you're terrible. I'm just kidding. I think I've lost with him before. Right. Yeah, sometimes it jumps on you. You never know. I didn't play him with the pool aspect, but I wonder if the pool aspect has anything good to offer him.
And before you play Get Good, that's the one that you get the benefit from losing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then it wouldn't apply. You probably won.
Yeah. But enough about one of the best heroes. Let's talk about one of the worst heroes. That's not what I'm saying. That's what other people say.
All right. I will say that historically, Hulk has not been the most fun. He adds a lot of frustration to some games, and my historical plays with Hulk was very kind of frustrating. But I think paired up with a good hero to kind of let Hulk be Hulk was actually really fun. I lucked out and I got a really good setup with a Ingenuity early, and I got a Plan B out early. So, like, setup-wise, I was pretty much almost good to go. And yep. I don't think I flipped down to alter ego once.
I don't think I did or you did that entire game.
Yeah. With the toughs from you, that really helped. When you played your superpower training, I was able to get his card that gives him additional health, which helped me out. What is that one? Immovable object.
Yep. Yep.
And I will say, you created a pretty decent, good deck. I played a defensive deck, and it played to all of the things that he wants to do in readying as many times. And playing taunt was really fun. I think one of the best turns I had and like the most fun turns was I was able to play like two taunts in the same turn, and then something else that let me draw a card. So I ended up drawing like seven cards with Hulk, which to me in the past was like, yeah, that'll never happen.
It's unheard of, yeah.
Right, with cards like taunt, like new cards like that, it was like, wow, like I actually have a hand that I can do more than one thing this turn. This is awesome.
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point that I kind of noticed in this game, just watching you play and have fun with him, is that I know you can play him Hulk solo, but it is very much as a, you got to get the right hand at the right time and just bombard the villain, or you're going to lose. Because I know there's decks that are like, you know, Ronin, Expert 18, soloed it, and, you know, cool. But I think he really shines as a multiplayer game where you, like you said, let Hulk be Hulk and then let other players, because I didn't have to worry about damage because you were just dishing enough out for the both of us.
I was able to ready probably like at least once on average per turn, and even if I'm base stats, that's like a 6 damage. That's pretty good. For relatively low cost, 1-2 cost at most, which is awesome. Yeah. The other thing that I liked is you built his deck around getting him ready a whole bunch, and there was very little like fat within his deck. It was very streamlined. I think at the end of our game, we discussed a little bit about like maybe taking one or two cards out and replacing one or two. But overall, like, I don't feel like there was a real big wasted card. Each card knew what it wanted to do and let you do it.
Yeah, yeah. When I used to play Hulk, so I've never been a Hulk hater. I do recognize his faults. And I think some of it is because the community overall is not a big fan of him. And so I'm kind of like, oh, I'll give him some love. And so I kind of defend him in that way. But I used to play him where I just basically threw in a bunch of 3-cost cards and just like accepted the fact that you're only going to play like one card a turn. But with so many new cards coming out, I was able to develop a deck that can utilize more cards a turn. And you were able to run it right, and it looked like it was functioning the way I meant it, where you're readying, you're doing max damage, and you don't have to worry about ever flipping down. You can just stay up and dominate.
That's the thing I noticed, that I had two types of turns with Hulk. I either had ones where I was able to utilize those really low-cost ready cards, and I was able to do good damage multiple times, and that was the turn. Or I had the like one big event I did on my turn, and that was it. It was really fun playing one or two Hulk smashes, you know, throughout the whole game. And then the other thing that was fun, that I made like Thunderclap work.
Yes, you did.
I think twice, and it was like nice because I could spread it everywhere, kill the minion, hit two of the bad guys, and because it's not an attack, I could hit Pile Driver, really maximize that. And I did have one turn that I contributed to thwarting with Sub-Elite.
You did. Probably one of the worst hero thwart cards in the game. 3 cost to thwart.
Yeah, 3 for 3 is awful. Granted, hopefully in the best case scenario, you should be able to pay with all fist resources to do 5, but still. It's your whole hand for 5 Thord. And he only has 2 of them too. So it's like you've got to have the perfect scenario that you need to do a lot of Thord off of a scheme, and you've got to have the right cards. And I just feel like that combo is very rare to happen. My luck, I'd get it and there's like one threat on the scheme. Woohoo. Yeah.
So let me do some rapid fire questions for you.
All right.
What do you think? Let me rephrase it. Do you think Hulk is a complicated hero to play?
That's a weird word to use. Because, like,
complex?
Yeah, I mean, he can be complex. Because complex in the way of, I've got to think outside the box to make him function to, like, a usable level. And whether that's, like, pairing it with an aspect or basic cards, they're going to make that work. I mean, really, you can look at it and just like, okay, I'm going to try and get all my Hulk cards, and I can play the one Hulk card because they're all 3 cost. But with the deck you made, I didn't have to think. I did have a little bit more options than I would normally think I would get with a Hulk deck. So okay. I think the complexity comes in the preparation of playing Hulk rather than the actual execution of playing Hulk.
Okay. So it's all about like a prep game for him.
Yeah. It's how am I going to make this heat sinking missile work?
Do you feel, it's kind of a companionship question to that, do you feel he's a good hero to give to a new player of the game in a multiplayer setting?
That's a big, fat, green no. And we did that one time when we played with my buddy, and because he was like, do you have Wolverine? And they're like, no, Wolverine's been announced, but he's not out yet. And he was like, do you have a Hulk? I'm like, yeah, we got a Hulk. Yeah, that was not good. I don't know. I'm a little torn because the aspect of Hulk, like being here, do this one thing, and that's what you are going to do this turn, is a little bit easy for a new player. But when you're like, when a new player like sees like, ooh, you just did this and this, I want to do this and this, you can't really do that same thing with Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, next one. What are your feelings on Banner's Laboratory?
Oh, dude, I knew you were going to say that. It's so worthless. That card is so dumb.
I don't have the same feelings that you have, but I respect them.
Why would you do a resource card? Okay, so this is what I mean. Why would you do a resource card that can only be used in Alter Ego when you can play one of his non-events to pay for something? So everything is a hero action, right? Hero interrupt, hero action.
Mm-hmm.
Except for a movable object. You can literally only use this card for one of his kit cards. Else would either have to be some other support upgrade or ally.
Well, he's got boundless range too. His other
upgrade. You can't. It's hero form only.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
One card. You can use it for one card. So worthless. Now, if it was a resource card and it made up for that 4-card hand size he has in hero form, to me, that would make sense for like being a resource generator for the game. Thematically, I understand that Hulk's not going to be using a laboratory. For the game, it makes no sense. Is absolutely dumb.
I think for me, I have found value in the resource, but his recovery is a pretty, having 2 recovery is pretty nice. Especially if you add on another whatever that card is called, the
downtime
one that boosts your recovery. Yeah.
Highlight baseball.
You can basically go down and do a Deadpool recovery and just boop, and then come right back up.
Yeah, but see, this is my thing with that, though, is like, you're like, oh, I want to play Boundless Rage and get that, you know, buff of plus one. But it goes away. Hulk only gets 4 cards, so it's got to go into your discard. You got to get it back into your deck. Then you got to cycle through your deck in order to try and find that again. And I will say with your deck, was it What Doesn't Kill Me? Is that what the name of that card
is? That's the healing.
I was able to heal and ready with that card, which was awesome. So I didn't need that 2+ recovery.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of who wants to recover to flip back up to Hulk and be exhausted?
Do you have to exhaust? Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And then the other thing that I think just still is such a like, this is the one of the dumbest abilities is Bruce Banner's ability is experimental research, like draw one card and then discard a card. Like, this is not benefiting me very much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to poop on Hulk
but that's where I'm like torn. Like, I have these few little gripes that are big, but I still had a lot of fun playing it with your deck and some newer cards.
Yeah.
To wrap it all up into this champion checkup. Like, it was enjoyable and it was fun.
Yeah. And it referenced when we did the conversation about his nemesis set. His nemesis set is rough. It's a pretty strong nemesis set and obligation. And it just seems like it doesn't match the hero's kit, and I think it stems from that he was designed one way, and then at the last minute I guess they decided to make some tweaks, and that kind of nerfed him a little bit. And you can tell that some of his cards, like, I think after the game we were sitting there just talking about all this, and we pulled out some of the cards and we were like, yeah, if they just did this card where it was this cost, it would be so much better. Or if they just did this small tweak to like several of these cards, it would just super open up Hulk and what he could do, especially getting rid of his Hulk's enraged ability, which is absolutely terrible. I mean, it's thematic, but there's no benefit to it, and I think that's the issue that people have is, fine, if I have to discard my cards, at least there's a purpose to it, not just, hey, that just sucks for you.
Yeah, because I think we talked about, like, we were fine with there being negatives to playing Hulk, because, you know, Hulk's kind of reckless and he's just this, you know, mindless monster and he wrecks things. But at least have some, like, consequential, you know, results from it, where, like, you do have to discard the card, but by discarding it, it's him flailing around and hitting, you know, a minion or villain for 1 or 2 damage, right?
Yeah. I know a lot of people homebrew where they give Bruce Banner a 6 hand size. Again, that's one of those that's like, why is it 5? And then in Hulk, they keep the ability. They just tack on, if you discard a card, deal 1 damage for each card discarded. And it's just like a small little thing that just helps him function that much better.
To balance out the negatives. Like, it's okay if there's negatives, but make there some balance. Same thing with, like, Bruce Banner. Like, even if his hand size was 5, his experimental research just gives him 1 more card, and then you're done. Like, why can't it just be draw 1 card once per phase?
Yeah. And I hate it. I really hate it, because my vision of Hulk is that in the game, I mean, at least mechanically, he should be the strongest damage output character. But he's not. I mean, in like a single, like, first turn, yeah, he is. You can do 13 damage on your first turn, which is pretty great. And he can take out a villain pretty quick. But outside of that, he just doesn't have a lot of staying power for players. And that's why he's always put at the bottom.
Because when a Hawkeye with a bow is the same strength as a Hulk, it just doesn't really equate.
Yeah, he should have been attack 4, and maybe he was at one point during playtesting, and they just decided that it was just too strong But I think, I don't know, I think, sadly, he missed the mark. But I think they're still good out of him. I think they've done some things to help make him more playable by adding, like, limitless strength or limitless stamina. I think that is a big help to him. And then, of course, Ingenuity is nice because it goes to a genius. Bruce Banner's a genius. Get that resource generation. So I definitely think there are some cards that have helped him as the card pool's grown. But I think it's kind of first impressions was enough, and most people aren't going back to him because he struggled. It was a struggle with him at the beginning.
Back to Banner's Laboratory one more time.
Oh, he's stuck on it.
Why couldn't they have done it where, like, it generates a resource and it removes, like, two threat?
That'd be nice.
At least let Bruce Banner threat something off. I mean, hey, Jennifer Walters can object to stuff, and
I mean, you could do all sorts. You could do, instead of the recovery, you could do he can keep the resource generation, and or his, you know, the plus one hand size, or he can do searching for certain cards like some of the other supports. But just the way it is right now, it just doesn't. It just doesn't land as much as it should.
Limitless strength is cool, though. There's always that.
Yeah. Taunt's really
still waiting. I'm still waiting on the three mental resource card. Who it's going to be?
Oh, yes. Well, it's going to be Mr. Fantastic when he comes out.
There's not a triple wild either. Who do you think could be a triple wild?
Cool. Who's a character that's, like, the strongest? Like, Sentry? Is he, like, one of the strongest heroes in the Marvel universe? Like
the Marvel Superman.
Maybe Sentry will have a triple?
Have a triple one of each with Domino. Captain Marvel with her lightning. Him with his strength. So, we're still waiting for the triple mental, and I guess a triple wild, too.
That's right. Or maybe we'll get the quadruple. No, we won't get a
quad. That'd be insane. Room on the card.
That's true. They'll have to really design around it. So what, any final thoughts on Mr. Hulk?
My deck. Hulk can be fun to play. You just gotta play the right scenario with the right complementary heroes. And yes, I know there's people out there that play him solo and do amazing things, but for the average person that is probably not a Hulk fan, I think he's worth another look with the expanded pool of cards that we have now.
Yeah. I think he's definitely worth taking a look at and just setting your expectation of, I know his weaknesses, let's plan around those weaknesses, and just focus on his strengths. When you focus on Hulk's strengths, which is basically just attacking, then he...
Smashing is what you meant to say.
Yeah, when you focus on smashing with Hulk, he's more fun. And you can smoke. You can focus on with protection like I did with doing readies. Aggression, you can do it with aggression. I think people should at least give him a try. I don't think he's as bad as people give him credit for. But he is definitely on the lower rung of heroes, unfortunately, just because he's got a really bad cost curve, and he just doesn't produce as well as he should.
Poor Hulk.
But if anybody's interested in that deck, I'll try to publish it on CDB Marvel.
Well, CDB. CBD, right?
Yeah, CBD. Maybe that'll be posted eventually.
We'll figure something out.
I think I'm going to name it. I think we talked about it. We're going to do it. Mean Green Ready Machine. It's probably already taken, but...
Oh, well. Version 2. Point out.
V2. Yeah. So, but yeah, overall, I had fun. It was really exciting to actually see you play Hulk, because you haven't played Hulk very much since it came out. And just to see you really dominate. Mm-hmm. That was it was it made my heart happy.
Grew three sizes. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. It turned from red to green, and I was excited. And it was fun playing Doctor Strange, and it was a fun throwback.
Laser play with Doctor Strange.
I was just kind of like, oh, it was like I was watching a kid play. I was the parent, just like, oh, good job. Here, let me thwart this and take care of this. And oh, good job,
buddy. Good job.
You did it. You did
I'm so
it.
So proud of you. Thanks.
Sorry. Let me confuse and stun this guy real quick. Okay, here we go. Let me do 7 damage for 2 costs. You can't even do that. I won't mention that. All right, now you're up, buddy.
Here's a tough. So when the bad guy gets you.
That was good times, and it honestly, it really did feel like that, because I threw out those side schemes, the player side schemes, and it helped you. So I was like,
yeah,
hey, here you go, buddy. Here's your immovable object for free.
Yeah, like thanks. Yeah,
good times.
That's how the game went. So thanks.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. Sounds good.
We want to know if you have gone back and played Hulk or Doctor Strange or the Wrecking Crew, and what your experience was being almost, what, 4 years old worth of content, and how they match up, how they hold up over time. You can reach out to us at marvelchampionspod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, we love and appreciate everybody listening. And go out there, give us a 5-star review if you can. And if you want to go from a chump to a champ, listen to the Marvel Champions podcast. Thanks.
Be nicer to Hulk. Bye.